Welcome to the Navit Gaming Podcast, where it is our mission to explore the business and future of video games. We bring together the industry's brightest builders, investors, and thinkers to keep a pulse on current events, dissect emerging trends in games, share lessons learned, and have a great time. This podcast is also part of Navit's growing ecosystem, which ranges from free and premium research to consulting and advisory services. For more information, visit www.navic.co. This episode is brought to you by Grid, the preferred live data platform of game publishers and esports tournament organizers. Grid's data infrastructure and distribution solutions help game rights holders unlock new revenue streams while empowering their communities and professional players. No matter what you are building, Grid can unlock your game's data potential through its off-the-shelf Grid SDK or fully customizable solutions. Plus, if you're a developer or entrepreneur with a live data-powered project idea, make sure to apply for Grid Open Access to start building with supported official game data today. Learn more and sign up at grid.gg or check out the link in the show notes. And with that, let's jump into the episode.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Navit Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Decay, and this is Interviews. It's been a bit of a break for me, given the happenings at Ruckus, and I'm excited to be back at it with a killer episode I've been dying to do for months. It's not often a new titan of platform and distribution steps onto the stage in technology and games, and especially one who is here to stay. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Steam, Apple, and Roblox, these are all platforms that have changed the game for game developers. And what I mean by this is that developers and the industry start to play by a new playbook to win on a certain theater of platform warfare, and it becomes a meaningful part of their go-to-market strategy. I'm going to quote something from our Silicon Valley favorite, Ben Thompson, which is really a quote from Bill Gates that Ben then rewrote down. But a platform is when the economic value of everybody that uses it exceeds the value of the company that creates it. And I'm excited to bring on precisely one of those platforms, TikTok, a platform today that is having a major impact on modern gaming distribution. Joining me today are Asaf Saghi, head of global gaming at TikTok, and Rama Vasan, head of global gaming business marketing at TikTok. And we're here today to talk about how TikTok is changing the game for game developers. Asaf, prior to joining TikTok, has experience at Snapchat, PlayBuzz, Summit, and Intel, as well as our personal MBA favorite, The Firm, aka McKinsey. So welcome, Asaf. It's great to see you again.
Thank you, Alex. Great to be here. I thought you were going to quote Bill Gates for saying content is king.
Content is also king.
Yes, indeed.
Less cool than meeting in person at GDC, though. And Rama, prior to joining TikTok, has a long career in communications at Marina Mayer, MSL, and Publicis. She's also been crushing the game and bringing together cohorts of remarkable women in games. So welcome to the podcast, Rama. It's good to see you again.
You as well. And it was great to see you at GDC and at the Women in Gaming event.
Yes, it was the best food, the number one food spread, because it was organized by women. And so it was not pizza. But before we kick off, guys, I know that I gave you guys some brief intros, but I'd like you guys to tell our audience a little bit more about yourselves and share specifically what your mandate is at TikTok Gaming. Asaf, maybe we'll start with you.
Okay. Thank you for the great introduction and mentioning the firm. It is in my LinkedIn bio. I'm in marketing for about 15 years. I'm now at TikTok for about 4 years. I'm heading global gaming at TikTok, which means that I have teams all over the world from Tokyo. I came back from Tokyo over the weekend to LA. And those teams are working with publishers anywhere to just help them thrive on the platform. And I will say more about this, but a little bit about my background. So I've been building towards this point, working at Snap and media startups and at McKinsey. And I'm a hardware engineer by profession, and I actually wrote algorithms in my far past. So I understand what auctions are and attribution, but I'm also a marketer. And what I tried to do when I was at McKinsey Chicago, I tried to work only on consumer goods. It's not easy because in the Midwest, you know, the insurance, but it was also good. There are some fast food companies. Also, there are some washing machine manufacturers. So I was able to learn quite a lot about how people behave. And I'm trying to bring those insights today, working with our teams to help the gaming industry grow.
That's awesome. Terrific. Thank you for sharing. Rama?
Yeah. So thank you for the intro. And you're saying my name perfectly, by the way, but it always confuses people. So let me just say my name is spelled R-E-M-A. but it's pronounced rum like Bacardi, Rama, also my drink of choice. As you said, I lead marketing for global gaming at TikTok. What that means is really think of me as a marketer's marketer. So my role really is to educate the gaming industry at large how they can tap into the power of TikTok to fuel their new title launches, to help succeed with live ops, to really fuel success of the game. And that's also what our mission is how we can elevate the gaming industry at large, leveraging the power of the platform. So in this capacity, we work with a large number of publishers around the world, showcasing what success looks like, showcasing those success studies, showcasing those publishers and developers on stages, et cetera, and really showcasing this at scale across the industry.
That's awesome. I am also so excited to talk about some of those success stories and showcases because I think that they are, some of them are so clever. And it's truly the greatest combination of creativity plus game making plus marketing and brand distribution and stuff like that. But before we talk TikTok gaming, I know that's where you guys are mostly involved at TikTok. Since I have you here, I kind of want to talk TikTok just for a second. There are 4 to 5 billion social media users in the world, and that's around 60% of the population. And TikTok particularly saw extraordinary growth between 2018 and 2022, without a doubt spurred on by the pandemic. TikTok stands above all other social media platforms, Instagram, WeChat, LinkedIn, Snap, and Twitter, and falls short of only, I believe, Facebook in terms of users. And we know that users is also not the most important KPI to product health, it's hours. And TikTok is crushing on that front as well. Hours for TikTok surpass Instagram in 2022 and 2023, and is predicted to overtake Facebook in 2025. In terms of revenue, TikTok is hitting milestones at lightning speed. TikTok broke the $10 billion mark in only its sixth year, a milestone that took Facebook, I think, over a decade, and YouTube 14 years. And in terms of what people are doing, TikTok has ascended beyond dancing and music clips, an homage to the kind of Vine era, I think, but towards also advertising and more serious content. Surveys conducted at Pew Research, for example, found that last year, 43% of TikTok's users regularly turned to the app to get their news. And Rama, before we go into TikTok gaming, I'm going to turn to you first on this. I kind of want to hear in your words, what do you think the impact is that TikTok has had on consumer behavior as a general whole? And who are these people and what are their personas? And what do you make of the new social media landscape?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Alex. By the way, prior to this current role that I'm in, I used to lead North America marketing for TikTok overall. So this is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. And I would say, if you think about it, and you mentioned social platforms, TikTok really isn't a social platform. It's truly an unparalleled entertainment platform that drives action. So you check other platforms, but you really watch TikTok because it's so immersive. And I was also very impressed with all the research that you've clearly done and that you talked about. But people on average spend about a movie's worth of time every day on TikTok. So it's super immersive, it's super entertaining, super engaging. And we're bringing, I don't know if you can see the words behind me, but the words say inspire creativity and bring joy. We're inspiring creativity, that's our mission as TikTok overall. And we're bringing that joy to 170 million users in the United States, over a billion globally. And also enabling 7 million small businesses to thrive in the United States. So why is all of this happening? It's because TikTok is super immersive in terms of storytelling. And it's not about aspirational influencers talking about completely out of reach content and so on. It's really about like everyday users being the main characters and expressing their point of view and their stories. TikTok is also super multi-generational. As you mentioned, gone are the days of just the lip syncing and dancing and so on. It's truly multi-generational and the users don't fit into one specific mold. They're you, they're me, they're really everybody. And there's a wide variety of interest and content that comes along with that that really reflects that multifaceted identity. And it really means that there's no more like gatekeeping of content. It's really about this incredible swath of content that has an impact on broader culture with really diverse voices and perspectives, which means no one's really left out of the fun. And TikTok is super authentic. Users and brands alike do best when they bring their whole authentic selves to the TikTok-first content that they create that invites communities to really join in the conversation. In fact, I think over 71%, had to get all my stats right, of global TikTok users really prefer brand posts that don't feel too polished, that feel authentic and native to the platform. So what does all this mean in terms of consumer behaviors? Users have very high expectations for brands to really bring their authentic, fun, meaningful selves to the platform, to bring that TikTok-first entertainment, because otherwise people are going to scroll right past. It's also not just about mass messaging. Alex, I hope you're on TikTok. And if you are, you will
know. I may have deleted the app because it's taking a movie's worth of time from me every day.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But when you were on the platform, you would know that your For You page experience is very unique and different than everyone else's. Mine, for example, is all about gaming, unsurprisingly, but also about dogs, because I have a dog, and about cleaning. Apparently, I'm obsessed with watching people clean their shower grout. But that's the point, is that it's all about these incredible niches, and we call them talks, TOKs. So whether it's the clean talk community, or the octopus talk community, or STEM talk, and so on, there's all these different communities that really speaks to people's unique identities that they bring to the platform. And I would also say that creators are incredible lifeblood of this platform. It's the creator community that really fuels a way for brands to show up really authentically to the audiences that they're looking to engage. And what I will say, and I know this is a broader TikTok question, but gaming publishers have always been innovative, which is great in terms of how they're ahead of the curve with creating TikTok-first content, bringing their IPs to the platform, and creating content that really resonates with the audiences with new formats and creative opportunities. And as you said, really clever execution. So we're really excited to continue to fuel that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it is everybody. And I think that's the harder thing to define, is that I think as many of the other platforms have become a little bit more siloed. I know, for example, that my age group sits squarely in the Instagram demographic. My parents' age group sits squarely in the Facebook demographic. I think TikTok is doing something really interesting where it is really covering all the baby boomer, the Gen Z, the millennial, and all the generations across the board, which is fascinating. And
I'm asking my parents if they're on TikTok and what they're doing. My dad likes life hacks, okay? He likes fixing things and he's getting all that content from all over the world. And you're right, Alex. If you really think about it architecturally, there is a reason for that. In the past, we focused a lot on the brand as the producer of the content that we trusted the brand. Then came the influencers. We trusted them because they were famous or potentially beautiful or something else. But here, the content is at the front. And then the presenter could be someone famous or a brand or not. The content has to be really good. And the audience knows already that no matter what, there will be another piece of content with a swipe of a finger. So it became so democratic that everyone could post on TikTok and get discovered and be creative and be seen by others. And it's also not limited in age, because every age will discover what's relevant for them.
Yeah, it's true. And actually, I was having a conversation with another Twitch streamer who actually is a lot older, who's not in kind of like the Cody Clicks 18-year-old Fortnite player. But he's talked a lot about the fact that the people that are playing games are aging up, right? And he's like, my generation is the first generation that grew up with games. And why do they not have the right to be serviced by a Twitch streamer who's going to basically appeal to their age group and their demographic? So that's going to your point about the do-it-yourself fixer-upper videos. There's kind of content, as long as there's a person on there making content for that audience, they'll gain traction. And then therefore, the flywheel of the platform will continue to grow. So thank you guys for that grounding on TikTok in general. I've always been so curious, as I think it's such a titan of a force in our social media, but as you said, entertainment platform, Rama. But now I do want to take a turn towards TikTok and gaming, and very much focus on TikTok's focus on the sector versus parent company ByteDance. And so I'm really excited to dive into the meme-heavy weirdness and delightful moments of TikTok and games, as there are so many hilarious stories of, quote, unhinged marketing by companies like Duolingo or Dumb Ways to Die and more. And so, Asaf, I'd like to turn to you and ask, why has TikTok invested in global gaming, and what specifically is your mission?
It's because of gaming. Gaming is such an important entertainment vertical. If you think about it by size, one of the largest within entertainment, probably north of $200 billion a year in sales. And it's a quite specific industry. It's an industry where there are always supply and demand issues. Right now, there was a little bit of oversupply of games and under demand because people got back to work from the days of COVID. There is an interest problem. In the past, it was free to produce games because you could take money from the bank without paying, just returning it. And now it costs 5% a year, depending on where you do it. That's one. The other bit is that privacy is changing. And in the past, game companies not necessarily did full marketing. They were doing user acquisition if they were mobile, or they were launching big time if they were XP and there was demand for everything. And on top of it, that there are many more game companies that are trying to come to market, but distribution is limited to a certain degree. There are a few ways you could distribute games on app stores or for PC games. There are a few places you could do it, but one of them takes about, 70, 80% of the industry. So when we looked at all of that, we said, wow, people love gaming. Those people are on TikTok. It's the same audience. We know that they're spending time with us. We could give stats here if you want. The one stat that comes to mind for me is that every year we're seeing more than 3 trillion organic views for gaming content on TikTok. Just think about that number, okay? Trillion, not millions. So obviously people are interested in games on TikTok, and we saw this as a great importance for us to be focused on that, and it requires expertise. So instead of having people in our org sitting in Tokyo and being managed locally by great leaders who understand the locality of Japan, we wanted to take a global view and instead focus on what it means for gaming, how to solve performance issues, how to create the relevant for content for gaming on TikTok. And we still learn a whole lot every time we launch a new game.
That's phenomenal. And also, I think the one thing to mention, and this is something about the power of even Twitch, is that gamers typically have a fairly high wallet size. So those users are lucrative and they are actually have a pretty strong aptitude to spend. And I think that's also a very important part about when we do user targeting, Discord, TikTok, these are the places, Steam, these are the places where your clients are, and matching content to what your clients needs and what they might be willing to buy, I think is that whole stack. is relatively hard to achieve. But if you do, it really settles you up there as the top of the distribution pipeline. And so I guess the question, it sounds like TikTok has a fairly big mission in games. And it's a huge platform for marketing and distribution in terms of user acquisition. But there's obviously something going on with TikTok in the news cycle. And as a developer, should I at all be concerned about this? And why would I choose TikTok over at a high level over another partner like Apple or something like that?
I'll gladly take this. So I lead gaming, luckily, and no other areas, but I'm informed. So I will say the following. Let's start from the gaming industry. Game publishers are always innovative. I came from a few other platforms before TikTok. I remember at Snap and at the media startups I worked, game publishers always come first. They look for audience because they know that this will be their competitive advantage. And we've seen so much success by game publishers on TikTok that we now have a separate unit with a few hundred people in it, and we're thriving together. And one, we as TikTok would not want to by any way change this at all. Okay, so I promise we're doing everything we can. But if you take the other view, like TikTok and the U.S. government, so TikTok has always been in close contact with the U.S. government, adhering and building things. For example, we have split out our data out of TikTok. No one at TikTok could look at user data. It's managed by a separate company called USDS. I believe that we are the only social platform or tech media platform that has done this. And I hope that more companies would do it because it protects the user eventually. And it serves the best interest for the country that they live. Related to where the discussions are right now, I don't have the specific details, but I would say the following. I think with 170 million people using TikTok in the US only, and more than 7 million SMBs, and of course, the thousands of game companies that were part of that sector, I'm sure that all parties will find a way to find a good solution that works for everyone. And it's important. It's important for the US economy, and it's important for consumers, because on TikTok, they discover, they learn new things. And I know that everyone is informed that I'm trusting the system that things will work out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, TikTok is, it's too big to fail in a way.
You know what? I went to business school and I worked for McKinsey, so I'm so cautious about that. But I think TikTok is collaborative. And TikTok understands that if it fuels culture. And that's why it's the mission is on us to work with governments and to make sure that we meet local regulations and we collaborate. At the end of the day, every tech company brings something new. Of course, that LO did not exist before, but we are making sure to work closely with those governments and collaborate to meet the best interests of those countries.
Yeah, and I think that collaboration is really important. And I think you're also bringing that, obviously, alongside the government, but also to the actual gaming partners. And I think I just want to shift there, talk about what TikTok is as a gaming partner. And Rama, I think I might have you take the lead on this one. But we noticed that for Apple, for example, their partner to games is mostly just on iOS store distribution, right? Can you tell us a little bit about how TikTok thinks of itself as a partner to games and a success story about how partnering with TikTok and partnering with the game contributed significantly to the success or the discovery of the title?
So I'm actually also going to tie it back to the question you asked earlier, Alex, which is why does TikTok have a dedicated global gaming org? It's also worthwhile to note gaming is the only vertical unit at TikTok, which also speaks to you about the importance of gaming for TikTok overall. And it goes back to, I'm going to take you back in time about a couple of years ago, when we took a deep dive into what is happening on the platform, what is the gaming phenomenon on the platform, and we really analyzed gamers on the platform. And we realized that there were three key pillars driving this phenomenon. The first is discovery, the second is cultural relevance, and then the third is performance. So discovery, and you know, TikTok overall is a discovery platform. If you think back to the days of the Peter Thomas Roth eye cream and the Gap jacket, et cetera, there's many different like case studies around brands, but even just general interests, like, you know, the latest in math problem solutions, my teenage daughter goes to TikTok to find them. So it truly is a discovery platform. And specifically as it relates to gaming, what we realized is 50% of our daily users, nearly 50%, view gaming content, which is pretty incredible if you think about it in terms of scale. And what that means is that your game can be discovered by a lot of people that you might expect, but many that you may not, because of the unique intersectionality of interest that works on the platform. I'll give you a personal example. I'm a Potterhead, Harry Potter fan, real nerd who stood online like when the books came out. I'm really dating myself here. But anyway, and I'm also a mobile gamer. I'm not a PC console gamer. By the way, Candy Crush level 2,625, anyone at King is listening. But having said that, because my For You page knows that I'm interested in Harry Potter, it served me up this really engaging Hogwarts Legacy content. And I was persuaded by that to order Hogwarts Legacy to play on my son's Switch. So this is what I mean by the intersectionality of interest that fuels like the magic of game discovery on the platform. If you think about the second pillar of cultural relevance, on TikTok, gaming really isn't just about the game and gameplay. Sure, that's certainly part of the content, but it's much more about the entire ecosystem surrounding the game. So gamers engage with challenges, with trends. They create their own interpretations, their own like Easter eggs, and they really showcase their creativity and their competitive spirit while expressing their love for their favorite game IP. You mentioned the flywheel. There's a really incredible flywheel that's happening on TikTok between publishers, creators, and the communities. So game publishers, many of them, as I mentioned earlier, are establishing a really creative, organic, authentic presence, which then inspires creators to showcase the love for their favorite fandoms and IPs. And the magic really happens when communities jump in and amplify the publishers and the creator engagement, which relates to thousands of posts, millions of views, and so on. A good example probably is, and this isn't a case study necessarily, it's just something we saw happening on the platform with GTA 6, which I know Asaf loves to talk about. So I'm going to let him take it.
Absolutely. And I'm like any other person in the world. I'm waiting for the end of 25 to play the game. When it came, when the trailer dropped, it actually didn't drop on TikTok on the first day. There was a licensing question or something of this kind that got resolved afterwards. But within 24 hours, the community created content that led to more than 10 billion views on the platform. And we started looking at that, asking, like, what does it mean? If this game could have sold today, like, how are sales looking if it was starting on TikTok? And it led us to a bigger question. What does it mean to be culturally relevant on TikTok? Rama mentioned, like, is this something you have the option to do or you must do? And the best way we explain this to ourselves is that a gamer plays between one and two games at any given time, probably one, okay? and you have the option to convert them to a new game, they may not come back to the old game, likely that they wouldn't. Okay, so you can either protect your game and have the gamer continue playing it, or if you launch a new game, you could create a culture and bring many people to play your game. And we understood that TikTok is the place where that decision is being taken. And that's very different from any other platform. Okay, this is the conversion point. And we started going deeply, and Rama, I'll bring it back to you, the expert on cultural relevance. But we started thinking, okay, what does it mean? How do you build cultural relevance?
I guess what I would say is maybe a good way to explain it is with an example, Alex, as you requested. When Spider-Man 2 was launched, Insomniac kept players engaged by creating custom skins designed by a wide variety of celebrities. So like my Formula One's Lando Norris, Brazilian soccer players, Vinicius Jr., they all created custom skins because then there was this exciting way for the gamers on the platform to participate in the game quite literally and see themselves in the game, which then fuels culture. Another example, I'm really on the sports theme here, but anyway, when EA launched FC Mobile in EMEA, they drove discovery with a custom branded effect. So again, it was a player card similar to the one that you would see in the game, which means that you could literally see yourself in the game on the platform, which then meant that many sports creators as well as communities jumped into it, which led to nearly 4,000 videos and almost 90 million views. So this is the kind of way in which publishers can really lean into the platform, tap into the tools, tap into the creators to really be a part of that larger cultural zeitgeist. So that really, I would say, is the pillar of cultural relevance. And then finally, I would talk about the last pillar being performance. And if I was a game developer or a publisher, I would say, great that my game is being discovered. Great that it's being propelled into culture. But what does it actually mean in terms of performance, which is, of course, the ultimate proof point? And what we learned from a gamer lens is that gamers on TikTok are incredibly passionate about the games that they really care about. After seeing gaming content on TikTok, 41% downloaded the game, 36% purchased to play. And almost 70% of gamers, when TikTok is part of their journey, even after they've purchased the game, will continue to post about the game. So they will continue to advocate for it. And you mentioned gamers are a high-value audience. Gamers on TikTok in particular are definitely a very high-value audience. We did this research where it was called Journey of a Launch, and we tried to understand when TikTok is part of a gaming launch, what does it actually mean? Gamers will spend, for PC consoles specifically, gamers will spend 80% more when TikTok is part of the pre-release versus when it is not. And 64% of these PC console gamers on TikTok will pay more to have the latest and the best features. So they're very engaged, they're very committed, and they will advocate for the games that they care about, which are part of that cultural zeitgeist. So it's these three sort of pillars of discovery, cultural relevance, and performance that is really fundamental to the DNA of like global gaming at TikTok as an organization. And in fact, it's part of our mission. Our mission is to elevate the gaming industry's growth by fueling discovery, cultural relevance, and performance.
I want to jump in on the game launches, which at least I think is the most important thing a publisher could do these days. People are looking for new content, and it's hard to make a breakthrough with an existing game. It's possible, and we're supporting that. But we're seeing that new title launches are very successful. That's what the data has shown. So we took a step as well, and we set up a global team that has only supported new title launches. We partnered with, I think, 100 companies in 2023. So 100 new title launches that we were part of. If you think about a new title launch, so you develop a game, it depends on if you're a large company or a small one, but a large one would spend, I don't know, $200 million in the game development. And then you have 2 weeks to get it right. You go to market and the monetization could not be working properly, or there is an issue with the game, or you're not making progress in some specific markets. So we created a set of solutions with dedicated people that at some times are actually flying to the publisher's headquarters, and together with them are launching. So to give you an example, okay, creative is a bottleneck. Not everyone speaks the TikTok language or any new language. So we created a service with a beautiful name, TTCC, but it is an incredible service. And we basically provide creatives to publishers through a network of creators that we have partnered with We make it really simple. So the publisher basically uploads a brief and the creators create it and we carry the costs. And that has really scaled in a material way. Not only that it drove new title launches to be successful, you don't want to run after a $200 million investment in a game. You don't want performance to drop because your creative is dying in day three of the launch. Okay. So we've created those units to support new title launches. But later on, we discovered that the same capabilities are important for just everyday performance. And we then extended that support to everyone who's working with us.
What is the name of the, you said an acronym, TTCE, or what does it stand for?
It stands for TikTok Creative Challenge, which is basically a way that you write a brief and then a set of exclusive community members that have more than X followers that understand gaming are able to create content for you. And they're basically transforming your brief. They're making it easier. They're transforming a brief that is in text with some visual assets to a TikTok creative that really works. And you could start thinking about options. We're not going to speak about what we're doing in AI right now. But once you have a big set of those creatives, then you ask, okay, could we let a machine do some of that? And there are really great ideas that we're thinking about right now of how we could, in a meaningful way, help publishers scale their creative efforts without having to learn everything about a new platform or just building a huge creative unit.
Yeah, you guys said so much great stuff here. So I'm just going to try to encapsulate TikTok's kind of overall gaming thesis, which is anchored around discovery, performance, and also cultural relevance. And Rama, you talked a little bit about how discovery might work for you. You know, mm-hmm. You read Harry Potter, and therefore the algorithm knew that you wanted to play Harry Potter the game, and then you ended up buying it. And that's the way that you organically attribute potentially interests that may not be somewhat related to games, but you're mapping that interest into a game itself. In terms of cultural relevance, I absolutely love what you said. I think that there is something to be done with a organic relationship between a content creator and what it means to be linked into culture. At Blizzard, for example, I led a electronic music cultural relevance initiative for one of the expansions for BlizzCon 2018 with a group of electronic music DJs that happened to play a ton of World of Warcraft. And to me, it was like an opportunity to say, hey, look, we have this organic group of people who absolutely love and have a tremendous amount of fervor for this game. Why are we not leaning into what it means to be culturally relevant today in terms of this electronic music scene versus going more towards the old way of bigger brand marketing when this is like where the new forum is? And so I think I love that TikTok is also, it's a platform for that. And to your creator program, you're actually helping publishers speak that new language, because I think it would be particularly challenging to do as someone who's also watched several TikTok videos. Like, I don't even think I could come up with them, because they're just unique and I have no idea what it's like to think like that kind of creator. And then finally, you talked about performance, and I think that's where I want to go next, is why TikTok over another platform. And it's clear that TikTok has driven success for discovery for games. And we know that IDFA, for example, has been a major headwind for UA across the Apple ecosystem, and TikTok has now been the place for positive ROI UA spend. And I guess the question for you guys, it sounds like you have a lot of people, a new launch team to help with new titles. Sounds like there's a partnership on a day-to-day basis of people that are helping you create content videos. Can you talk a little bit about what platforms and what games you are most suited to help? So mobile, console, PC, and maybe something about genres as well. What gaming genres do the best on the platform?
Yeah, I can take a crack at this. So the easy answer is every game would be a good fit for TikTok. Because yes, because we, for every product in the world, service, piece of content, the algorithm will find the relevant people. It's a discovery platform. By design, it's a place where you come with the intent to learn new things. So the algorithm is really smart about finding you if the product is relevant for you. So it could be, we're seeing everything from RPG to hyper casual, from big launches of AAA games to niche console games that could really go viral, or PC games that could really go viral on the platform. And there is a tech problem to be solved here. So I want to really, right from the beginning, state that we're pro-privacy. And we think that the change around the IDFAs was important for the industry. And it's a step in the right direction. And it made us better as marketers, because we're thinking about the world of consumption in a very different way. and how to serve our audiences rather than to force on them anything. And the challenge for TikTok is a little different than for other platforms because we are a fully skippable platform compared to other places where non-skip is available for any brand. So we really have to take everything a notch up in terms of how interactive things are, interesting and relevant. Meaning that if there is a platform that will take you for a journey of 120 non-skippable seconds, and I think it exists, we have the opposite. So it's a different challenge. So what we've done, two things. One, we created tech capabilities that are on par with the industry. Today, it's a table stake to be able to drive long-term value, ROAS. It is important to know the audience and to know who will be interested in the game, to find them at the right time, to show them the relevant ad so that we'll interact with that ad. Also, people on TikTok, and it's important to state, they will consume a product even if they don't click. And we think that last click attribution is a concept that it needs to be updated. I wouldn't say that it's outdated, but it needs to be updated, okay? Because no one ever wakes up in the morning, they drink their coffee, they see a car ad, then tomorrow the car appears in their backyard and not a mattress. And it's no longer the case for games as well. People are really considering what they will consume. They want to know that they're going to be part of a culture, back to what we said earlier. So we took that basic assumption and we said, okay, what can we do to know for sure that people are getting the right content in front of them? And we built algorithms, as you would expect, and we started from iOS, and that we did it on Android. And now we're venturing into the PC industry where it's a little more difficult because there is no client, as we call it. There is a client, but it's not a phone client. People are playing it on a console or on a personal computer with an executable file. And it's a completely different sandbox to think about closed loop attribution and how to optimize against that. But we built relevant tools. And I want to give examples. I just want to be accurate with the numbers to pay the respect to the relevant companies that work really hard. Now, a caveat here, okay? Every time I speak about companies, I don't speak about other companies that are successful. And there are many. So I want to apologize. If you go to our website, there are so many good case studies. But I picked a few because they represent different areas within the industry. So let's start from using top view tools like doing full funnel. And it is a concept that we should at some point speak about. Exabolt, which is a gaming company. They have an FPS game. And what they did on TikTok, they ran top funnel activity with top views together with top feed placements and lower funnel. And their results were a 24% decrease in CPA on Android. Okay, this is really meaningful. It's not always easy to drive success on Android because the community base on Android is quite different from iOS. That's not the same phones even. Okay, some people buy Samsung, some buy Xiaomi. At some point, I learned that there are probably 20,000 different versions of Android because people don't always update their operating system. Go to SciPlay, which is a social gaming company. And it could be casino, it could be other types. There, you would think that they will drive success on legacy platforms, and they are. They're quite a successful company across the board, and they're moving fast in their rankings in the industry. But they took the challenge. They looked at TikTok and they said, could we find new audiences and could we drive success? And they've definitely proven it. They got, you know, to up to 60% decrease in their CPI metrics, and they use TTCC. And what they also used is a TTCX platform where you could access more professional agencies in building your content. They're not only experts to the content themselves, but also they said, let's get ideas from others in doing it. And I think they deserve big credit for doing it. So you asked about genres. I also want to talk about simpler genres like hyper-casual, where you would think only ad networks could drive success there, but we discovered that actually it's the opposite. If you're driving cultural relevance, you're actually going to see success, but it's important to drive that. And Attack Hole is a hyper-casual game, and they saw a 36% decrease in CPIs on iOS by using two things. One, TTCC again, where you get limitless content. You just need to write the briefs and iterate on what you're doing. And they also used a concept called app profile pages, where we let them to create a landing page experience such that they know a little bit more about the audience that they're interacting with. And in a smart way, they improve their performance. They understand what consumers care about, and they drove that 36% decrease.
That's fantastic. Sounds like these are a lot of what you're doing, and the success case for the platform is a drawdown in CPIs. And in general, I think the general metric that I've heard is that CPIs are 4 times lower on TikTok than they are on another platform, whether that's a combination of paid and organic. And it sounds like from these 3 examples that you gave, that's the bulk of what has ended up happening through clever marketing, through either working with the creator program, the TTCC, or through creating their own landing page. You're basically able to short circuit and drive down the cost of acquiring users.
So it's two things. It's CPIs, which you're absolutely right. These are important, but it's also CPAs. The lifetime value of the user. And the ExcelBolt example is a 40% decrease in cost per action. And we're heavily focused on that. Heavily because we believe that we know the user base of TikTok and we know what they will care about. And if someone is very active on gaming and very active on e-commerce verticals, there is a commonality between the two. And we're able to see those.
And if I could just build on what Asaf said, Alex, one of the other things that we've also learned, and this has been an evolution over the couple of years that we've existed as a global gaming org, is also having teams that specialize in mobile and PC console. So we've actually sub-verticalized our teams to have that specialty expertise because we understand that mobile is very different than PC console and XP. It's the difference between performance marketing and entertainment marketing in a way. And even within XP, like marketing a console game is very different than marketing a PC game. So we do understand those nuances. And we have experts both within Asaf's team as well as mine that really likes deep dive into that to provide that expertise to publishers.
I see. Yeah. As I was about to say, it seems like even on TikTok, there could be that delineation between what is typically brand and in kind for console and PC towards performance and UA that is typically present on mobile. And I guess that also is a great segue into the next question, which is, as a developer, how do I win on the platform, right? You gave these 3 examples, and this is a big mystery of any distribution platform, but how do you actually win the algo game? What is the anatomy of a successful TikTok video? And I suspect that you guys have broken this down into some hard science for sure, as it sounds like you've done with a lot of other things. But should I be mostly sharing, if I'm a developer and have a mobile game or console game, and maybe the answer is different per the platform, as it probably might be, should I be sharing game footage, streamers playing the game, something entirely else? How often do I need new videos? And also, I think a core question that I would love to hear from you guys on is, how early should I start considering TikTok marketing when I'm actually building my game?
I can start, Asaf, and then if you could jump in, that would be great. There's a lot that you asked in there, so let me break it down. I think the short answer is that there is no one answer because each game is different and each game launch is different. And you really have to think about the game, the IP, the audiences that you're looking to engage with and so on. But I would say from a general principle, and we recently did a white paper with NRG, the National Research Group, around like key principles of what modern gamers are looking for in general, and then of course on TikTok. And it actually ties back to this idea of connection, community, and cultural relevance, 3 C's. We like to think in 3's, as you can tell. And what we saw in that is that it's really about, and we've talked a lot about this, gamers are more likely to engage with games that they consider culturally relevant. Monopoly Go actually is one of the games that shows up very strongly on NRG's Franchise IQ Tracker as a game that really resonates against these 3 pillars of connection, community, and cultural relevance. Not surprising, hugely successful game in the past year. So how do you do that and bring that to life on TikTok? Again, I'm talking general principles, but we always work with publishers on more specific recommendations for their game. So 77% of TikTok users really like it when brands reveal more about themselves, a look behind the scenes, right? So gameplay is great, but what is it about the game? What's the Easter eggs? What are the like ins and outs that they can really play with and make part of the community and that drives the cultural relevance. Humor also works really well. Globally, TikTok users are 1.4 times more likely to credit humor in a creator's motivation for resonating with a particular brand. So developers can also find success by leaning into content that shows that they don't take themselves too seriously. You mentioned paid and organic. That is another key principle on the platform. We're seeing that a combination of both paid and organic is key to success on TikTok. And it's related to the question you asked earlier, which is, we think that TikTok should be a part of the journey even before launch, because that's when we're seeing the greatest impact. So support new trailers and releases with paid support, but also invest in organic creator or creative content that really keeps the audiences engaged. So like GTA 6 is actually a great example of, and that game in any event would have that community, but like really tapping into that even before the game launches. And what we've seen is that when users first see organic content from the brand, it really primes the paid content to be even more successful. So we see greater recall, 27% greater recall, 12% more attention to branding when there's that organic and paid content combination. The Sims, Sims 4 in particular, did this really well, like bringing together organic, paid, and partnered content. So these are some general principles. And Asaf, I'd love for you to jump in into how we've maybe brought this to life with a couple of brands as well.
Yeah, thinking about game executives, you invest so much money in a game that you really want to get certain results. And Rama just presented how the content is working, but we also asked, okay, what if it takes time to learn this? Or a company may not assume the risk from day one. And this is why we created our new title launches unit. So my answer is, if you launch a new title or you want to do a live ops activity, come and work with us, okay? Reach out to us today as soon as you know that you want to do it, because we're able to start working on a brand strategy together from the early stages to telling you what it would take to get to specific metrics, how much time it would take, how much content we need to produce together. And we have enough examples to give you good guidelines. You may not need to produce it yourself. Like we could definitely help with that. So I think that's the relevant time. If you're asking how to make something viral right now, I don't know that anyone has the answer. And when you understand that it's hard to create virality, the best way to approach a problem is to take a portfolio view and to say, I'll be culturally relevant. I'll use the right people. I wouldn't be cringy. But also understand that some different videos will be relevant for different communities, and I'll try as many as I can, and I'll produce all of them before the game launches, and I'll try dropping them in batches of 40 until I understand what's working. And from our experience, we saw that this would work great. Now, let me pick a specific example. One thing that jumps to mind is you asked us about brands and mobile games without a brand, okay? So it's really about IP and not having IP, okay? Like trying to build a new IP. So a mobile game studio called Less More from Europe, we're very proud of that because it's a game studio that really got to the top of the App Store. And all the success is due to their novelty and their genius, a brilliant game, We Are Warriors. But we were there to help and we went exclusive together. We said, let's remove the noise from attribution. Work only with TikTok. So at least you know that every paid download or even organic was driven by TikTok, at least as a secondary ripple effect. So you can measure us properly. And together we created content that is based on TTCC, meaning that creator creative challenge, and also TTCX, which is a more professional agency work that we have facilitated for them. I think it's quite incredible to see a game studio go into the first stop in an app store. And they were able to do it. And we looked at that and we said, it probably means you don't need to put the lightning into a bottle. It means you need a good game that people could connect. But then you need good execution on the launch week or launch month. And that's what we recommend focusing on. Good execution. We are supporting. But the publisher also needs to decide that's what they're going to do in their launch period.
Yeah, makes sense. And I think, yeah, you're addressing two points here. The one is like, how do I prepare and how do I make videos? And it sounds like you work very much alongside either live games or for live ops and new games as part of your TTCC programs or your TTCX programs. And then to your question about what makes a video go viral, nobody knows. And theoretically also cultural relevance is geographic, age, my life cycle and my own maturity relevant, right? It's like nothing, something could be culturally relevant in London that's not culturally relevant in Tennessee. And so the having a variety of creators around that content is what helps it make it culturally relevant and localized maybe to the target part of where it actually belongs, which I think is really fascinating. And TikTok is allowing that creator community, whereas before, like you were saying, the brand had only one identity and had limited flex points to be able to target people that weren't already beyond its core, which I absolutely love.
Well said. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So for the majority of this episode so far, and as we approach the end of and the conclusion of our talk, we've focused on how TikTok can be thought of as a partner to games through discovering, through helping the creation of culturally relevant videos, through performance and attribution and generating ROAS, right? But in our concluding few minutes, I'd like to open the floor to kind of what's next for TikTok in the gaming vertical. What are you guys planning on doubling down on if on what you already do? And what are the next new key focus areas? Saf, maybe I'll throw this one to you.
Okay, I'll start, and Rama can definitely come afterwards. And we have an incredible team that I just want to pause for a second and give credit. Team of experts, it's not only Rama and myself. They're sitting all over the world and they're thinking every day how to help the publishing industry. So of course, performance is the lifeblood. And every day we make it better and better in order to make sure that publishers are able to drive success on TikTok. But we're also thinking about those what's next elements. So with more than 3 trillion organic views, you could obviously understand that we're looking into that and ask ourselves, is this measurable? Could we do something with it? Could we help publishers really harness the power of the community? Because until today, almost 8 out of 10 companies we asked, like, how are we structured? They said, social is separate from paid. You can't speak with the two teams, or you can't have the same person speak with the two teams. And we're challenging that. We're asking why, okay? Because when it comes to TikTok, when you have strong organic presence, it impacts your paid, as Rama mentioned earlier, and vice versa. So that's one area that you should be on the lookout for announcements from our end. Another area is live. TikTok has a very successful live platform within the app. We're growing continuously. I don't know that we have shared specific numbers for that, but I will say that we're seeing it as one of the best ways to discover new games because people like the live medium. It's a live room where you could interact and write comments. And then we're starting to ask ourselves, okay, what could go there behind the scenes that will be more interactive, that will help people not only discover a game, but engage with the game? So those are areas we're thinking about. There is always a question that we're getting. I know you asked us when we met pre this, if we're planning to be a game publishing platform. So I just want to take it and address it in the best way possible. TikTok is a content discovery platform, first and foremost. And game publishers are publishers by virtue of their names. And we're not planning to take their place. Now, will there be an IP deal that someday a good IP will run on TikTok as a game? Maybe. We tried H5 before, but we're not planning to replace publishers by all means. We think publishers are doing a fabulous job. We believe that platforms are consolidating mobile, PC, console. So we will let publishers lead on that end and we will help them be successful, even if it, in some cases there will be examples that you'll see a game on TikTok.
Yeah, I think the other piece I would say is Saf talked a fair bit about the new title launch support and team that we put together. That team is also doubling down in terms of live ops support because we are seeing a lot of shifts as companies are focusing on greater efficiency and more like controlled revenue through live service games. So we have a team called the Advertiser Solutions team, which focuses on new title launches. They're extending their remit to also focus on live ops support because we know how important that is to sustain long-term success. And as a platform, we want to make sure we continue to fuel that. And new title launches will continue to be a focus. We've actually never shared this data before, so we're going to debut it on this podcast. So I have some stats to share with you. In 2023, 1,069 new games launched on TikTok. And a third of those games partnered with us on our new title launch program. So about 30. And 7 titles, including Les Mores' We Are Warriors, Niantic's Peridot, worked exclusively with us to get 40% extra organic users and over 1 million installs. I'm sharing this data to say that this is like really a big part of our focus moving forward as well. This idea of how we elevate our value to the gaming industry by focusing on new title launch, on live ops, and then of course performance as an underpinning to the success of the games.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations. Thank First, you. That's a 40% increase in organic is quite the number. And 1,069. That's a lot of new games. And I think that's exactly the challenge today of game making. As creation costs go down to zero, now the linchpin is on discovery and distribution. And so if TikTok is a platform that can help with that, I think it's actually remarkable to make sure that you start doing these partnerships very early with these teams. And it sounds like you guys overall have a lot to offer. A concluding thought from this is absolutely TikTok to the moon and do not ignore this platform. It's generally my takeaway from this hour-long episode. But we typically conclude by asking, you know, hey, if a company wanted to partner with TikTok in the variety of capacities that you mentioned, either through live ops, through the new creator program, through the TTCX, if I'm a developer, how do I get in touch with TikTok and start working on with TikTok marketing for discovery of my game?
Ping us on LinkedIn. We're very accessible. Rama and myself, we will route you to the relevant teams. There's no over hierarchy. We're trying to be friendly with the industry and really work with everyone. And we have it ingrained in our mission. We're trying to help the industry thrive. We never said big companies from that specific country. We just said the industry, which means that sometimes it wouldn't be a publisher that is coming to us. It would be a creator or an esports league. And we're always open to those ideas. And we have relevant teams working on all those segments. An organic team that is not within our org, but is also an incredible team that is creating new products. We will find the right home for those. Reach out to, please write to us.
Got it. Okay. So TLDR, find you guys on LinkedIn and shoot you guys a message. It's very simple.
Indeed.
Guys, this was such a pleasure to have you on. And any concluding thoughts from you guys before we close, Asafa, Rama?
I think just we are really excited for the future. We know that it's a really challenging time in the industry, but we also see the incredible potential that gaming has as an industry, as a category, as an entertainment platform, all the transmedia crossovers that you're seeing. There's so much potential alongside the challenges, and we are here to be those partners to tap into the potential and to see the success. We're really invested in the gaming industry's success. So in addition to LinkedIn, we're also in a lot of events. So come find us, talk to us. We're really super accessible and we will do our best to help you out.
It would be hard to exceed that. The only thing I'll add is gaming executives, CEOs, board of directors are thinking deeply about what they're doing with their companies and where to go. And we are here to give advice. If you want, we're here to speak about numbers and what we're seeing coming. We believe that the industry is on the cusp of making another big leap, but some things will have to change. And we will be happily come and discuss.
That's fantastic. Rama, I know that I'm personally looking forward to the next event that you have or throw at any kind of conference. And Asaf, thank you for those parting words. I think that it is exactly the reason why I was excited about this episode is because there are so many people that are thinking about what the future of their businesses are, what the future of distribution is, and TikTok is most certainly going to play a role in that. So guys, this probably concludes our episode. As always, to all my friends that are listening, if you have feedback or ideas, hit me up at alexandra@novik.co. We are always open. And with that, that brings us to our conclusion on TikTok. Thank you, Asaf, and thank you, Rama, for coming on.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
All right. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, whether on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, or give a 5-star review. And if you want to reach out or provide feedback, shoot us a note at podcast@novik.co or find us on Twitter and LinkedIn. Plus, if you want to learn more about what Novik has to offer, make sure to check out our website, www.novik.co. There, you can sign up for the #1 games industry newsletter, Novik Digest, or contact us to learn about our wide-ranging consulting and advisory services. Again, that is www.novik.co. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.